Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's strong in presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Yo!
Coming to you live on a Wednesday.
I keep thinking today's Thursday.
Tis not.
But I have the Rotary program tomorrow, so I have to be present, and I have to have a guest to visit and entertain the crew. So today, I got to work, and I sat there for a second, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got the Rotary program today. And then I realized it was only Wednesday, and it was kind of, I don't know how to take that. Like, I was kind of excited for a minute, like, hey, it's already Thursday. And then it was like, oh, no.
The week is a little messed up because you have the Illinois game on a Friday.
That's, I think, what it is. I think that's what's doing it to
me. Normally two games out from game day is like, yeah, it's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah.
Then game day.
So I asked Kyle to be my guest at Rotary and speak to the Rotarians, and he flat out said no. Now, what do you think of that? I mean, what do you think of that?
I think it's actually that's disrespectful.
Actually, I didn't ask.
Hey, on Kyle. The screen right now is Coley Harvey. Remember interviewing
that?
Him
yes.
at Pia's?
He came to Pia's.
Yeah. He was in town for an Illinois football game.
I was wondering if you were pointing at Bruce Bochy.
No.
Okay.
But he is broadcasting for ABC right now.
That's awesome.
The Rangers and Rays. Rangers up on the Rays once again here afternoon baseball 4-0.
Let me tell you. Coley was a super nice young man, and he when he decided he was in town for that Illinois game, whichever that was, a couple of years ago, and I'm like, you know, Coley, I know you're probably swamped here. We can do it via phone if needed. And he goes, no, I'll come out. And he did. He came out to Pia's, and I think he had a good time visiting.
I mean, who doesn't have a good time?
Amen. Amen. And you could just kind of tell at that point that that young man was destined for some good things because he knows his stuff. He's very solid around the mic, and he's got a great personality. So that's I'm glad you pointed that out because
I mean it caught me off guard. I turned back to see what the score was, and there was a familiar face.
There he is. Bruce Bochy has looked the same for 25 years. Bruce Bochy looked like that 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So I guess 25 years ago, people were like, man, it's really worn on him. He looks old. Now you're sitting there going, man, he hasn't aged a day.
Same dude.
Good manager.
Same
too.
Dude as when he's putting Ryan Klesko in the lineup for the Padres.
My goodness. What if you could replace Ollie Marmol right now? Well, I'm gonna bring
in please.
Kyle. I'm gonna bring Kyle in on this.
I'm all ears.
I know we've got a headline to report on Illinois basketball. We'll get to here in a second. So, but no, actually we'll get to that now. But just for you guys to think about, if you were gonna replace David Ross today or Ollie Marmol today, and you can have your pick. Who would it be? So we can get to that. We can roll down the line, but I know you've got more important things to say.
Yeah, there was a fire last night in Morrill Stadium.
What in the world? That was right below my seat.
It was.
Yeah. When I started gathering the information needed, I started figuring out that it was in the horseshoe, of course, and then I was like, well, hold on a second. I think that's literally right below my seat. So am I going to be able to sit tomorrow night or Friday? See, I'm still thinking it's Thursday. Am I going to be able to have a seat Friday? Or are they going to, like, rope that area off and be like, nope, you can't sit there?
It sounds like things are good to go as far as I can tell. But got a couple of days left still to – I don't know how damaging it was, how big it was, and it was underneath the horseshoe. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it was too much structural damage. So
it's good.
Did something just catch fire on its own?
Twitter made it sound like it was a mower. Then someone said, why do you have a mower on a turf field?
For turf. I think probably for the grass, obviously, around. Probably Grange Grove.
Ah, gotcha.
And such. Yeah. But I would assume, like, I wondered if somebody had been mowing all day and then just parked it and it kind of caught fire. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know, like a mower just sitting, not running, I can't imagine just catches on fire. But
don't know how that's happening.
Hell, cars are doing that now.
Is that right?
These electric cars are, like, burning up. So, yeah, I don't know. It's
Kyle, you were on campus. Did you go investigate last night?
No, I actually was out by Memorial Stadium when this was going down. I was driving back.
That's very suspicious.
No. Yeah, it was. No, I didn't mean to make it sound like that. But
I'm just kidding.
I was driving back from somewhere. I had to go for one of my classes in my car. I'm coming down Neal. There's, like, three fire trucks that come flying through. I'm like, what's going on here? I pull back around Memorial Stadium. There's about 12 emergency vehicles right there by the horseshoe. Mm. You could see the smoke coming out from that side, and you could kind of smell it when you were walking around there. But no, I did not set the stadium on fire.
Now Kyle's young, so I'm gonna let him off the hook.
He's like, I don't feel like Illinois is prepared for this game. They need maybe an extra couple of days. Start a little flame there under lawn seats out in the horseshoe.
Let's have this game on Sunday. So we don't have to watch the Bears.
A little longer time for Barry Lunny to get an identity on offense. Right. A few more days.
Oh, wait, the Bears play tomorrow night, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Now, Kyle, you're early in your tenure as a communication major, but imagine how many great points you would have had from your professors and Derek and I and Stevie and Diane if you would have just pulled your phone out, taken a few snapshots, interviewed the fire chief of Urbana and Champaign, and gotten, you know, some one-on-ones exclusive from Memorial Stadium.
I probably should have done that, but at the same time, I had no idea what was going on. Yeah. I didn't know if I was going to burn or if I was in danger.
Hey, you're a journalist now. That means you got to run into the, like, if you're
the
covering a war.
Story matters more than your life.
Exactly. If you're covering a war, you got to be on the front line, man. If there's a fire, you're running in there with them. You just tell one of the fire guys, I'm in.
If Trent Frazier's pass comes your way, you're going to let your laptop just explode.
Oh, that's right. See?
Yeah.
Derek did it. He took
right
one
there
for
on the
team.
Front lines.
That's so funny. Yeah, I am on the hot seat today. You can see me. You can kind of see me. You can see half my head. Should I move over?
There we go.
A
317 says it was a mower for the Grove as well as an ATV.
Mm, so a double. Okay. Well, I mean, in all seriousness, I'm glad.
Of course.
I mean, it's for a split second when I first saw that news, for a split second, I'm like, can you imagine Memorial Stadium burning? Mm. Like, I know it's a lot of brick, and I know that the fire departments in this area are wonderful, and those guys would have had that thing under control quick, but you know, you've seen that Busch Stadium, I think, one time, and the press box caught fire. We've had that in different sports arenas. But, you know, when you've got a lot of brick and mortar, that stuff's not going to burn necessarily. So that's the good news there, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, for a split second, I was like, can you imagine? Like, what would you do? Where would you play your games? Mm-hmm. Ugh. Where would you play your games? Would you go to Tommy Stewart
like,
Field since everybody
else?
Yeah,
Jay Layman Central and just go over Centennial.
Just, you know, Centennial
home
uses
away from
it.
Home.
Central uses it.
They still do that.
I don't know.
I'm probably outdated. Or were they voting on trying to get a football stadium, football field built over at Central?
I leave the small town information to
so
me.
They could actually have a home field.
I leave the CU information
to
you.
Yeah, but see, then I moved to Muhammad.
No, oh, that's wrong. Right. Oh, now you're one of those.
I'm not in. Not on the inside anymore. Man.
My God.
Anyways.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they still. I don't know. It's kind of weird because I still think one of the strangest thing in the history of my sports, in my 40-some, 50 years, whatever, the Giants and Jets playing in the same field. I mean, you're talking about the number one market in the country. You would think that there would have been enough money in the last 30 years that one of those franchises or organizations could have built a new stadium, right? I find it interesting that the Jets and Giants use the same stadium. Is that strange to you, or you just don't think about it? See, I think about those
things. It's a little strange. Now, you have another situation where the Rams and the Chargers are using the same stadium.
Right.
That's a newer stadium.
Yep. I'm sure the Rams are getting ready. They're getting itchy to move again, I would assume. I mean, don't they do that about every 5 years? They're like, we don't know if we definitely like this area. We're going to move again.
I think the one that bothered me the most was the Oakland A's and Raiders sharing the same stadium, and you had to have the infield part of the actual football field.
Yeah.
That was just dumb.
It was weird. Bo Jackson would run through shortstop area to get to left field to score a touchdown. And it's like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. No, it was kind of weird to watch that too. And I don't know. It's just we think of sports. I mean, when you think of sports on the professional level, you think of millions of dollars, right? I mean, these organizations are worth millions and billions of dollars. And you sit there and you wouldn't suspect that you would have to play on a baseball field, football. So it is kind of strange that they wouldn't be able to do that. But, hey, it's not easy to get a stadium built in a city. You got to get a lot of approval from the people that live there. You got to get approval from the government there, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of stuff goes into it, and it's a hell of a time to try to get that done. But I've just always thought that the Jets and Giants, one of the two at some point would have broken free and said, you know what, we're done. We're done sharing. We're going to go open our own stadium over here and wherever. New Jersey or East Rutherford.
Well, they're already in New Jersey.
Yeah, they're in New Jersey. So, yeah, I don't know. Somewhere around there. Manhattan doesn't have the room.
No.
Does not have the room.
Does not. All right, I'm burying the lead a little bit. I was joking about – I was making a little bit of a light humor about the fire being the story of the day, although it was very prominently covered.
Yeah.
And yes, also shout out to the people who were able to get that taken care of and made sure that it wasn't a bigger issue. And I'm glad to hear that the game is on track to be played at Memorial Stadium on Friday. But Illinois basketball, we talked about it yesterday. I mentioned Jace Butler, the 3-star guard out of California, fully expected to commit to Illinois, which he did this afternoon via Instagram. He was on with Travis Brandon from 24/7 Sports, one of our national guys over there. And he did share that he is going to be suiting up for Brad Underwood and company in the 2024 class. So reading some of his comments that Brandon had in his story and just kind of knowing some of the background here, I know that just Illinois making an all-in push on a guy that didn't have another high major offer. At least I know Stanford kind of dabbled with him late. I don't know if they officially offered or not, but they're trying to get him in on an official visit last weekend. Other than that, Illinois was really battling UC Santa Barbara, yeah. San Francisco. These are teams that Illinois should and did ultimately beat in this recruitment, but they have a need at point guard, just ball handlers in the backcourt, and he is one of those at 6'4". He's got good size, good feel for the game. I think he makes people around him better. You can play in ball screens and see the way that the defense moves and rotates, and you just find openings. I think he's just very crafty. He's not the best athlete. He's not going to wow you with his run and jump athleticism by any means, but he's someone that's very smart, and I think that just the way he uses his body and all of that is something that Brad Underwood and staff, the more they watched him, the more they fell in love with him.
Okay.
And I think when he first got an offer or Illinois was on his list, I know he cut his list, I think, going into August. And I was like, okay, this is probably a backup plan. Probably a guy that if Illinois misses on Mikey Lewis, the top 100 guard, also out of California, he's from the Oakland area, that then they would probably maybe then try to pivot to Jace Butler and see how that went. That's not how it played out, as it turned out. It was a situation where they were happy with either one. And I do think that there's some over there at Oven that actually preferred Jace Butler, contrary to what certain rankings say. So Mikey Lewis still out there for the taking. LSU was thought to be the leader at one time, is out of the mix. Illinois, I don't think they're going to get him and Butler together. And maybe he goes to Ole Miss now. But Illinois loved Jace Butler. They got him today, and he joins Merez Johnson and Jason Jaxtus in that class.
Is Chester Frazier, he was the key to that?
He was the lead recruiter, yep. I know that Jeff Alexander saw him. He was out in Phoenix watching some guys in June, and I don't know how aware Illinois was of him at that time, but Jace really showed out well in the Section 7 event out there in Phoenix, and Jeff was there. I know that he saw him, and then Chester kind of took the lead from there in terms of building the relationship right. and getting out and watching him more. And so, yeah, Chester was the lead guy, and Chester's done that before. We talked about it a little bit yesterday too, is that, you know, at Kansas State, when you don't have the same type of appeal maybe as at Illinois, he had to kind of go under the radar and was able to get a guy, you know, like a Barry Brown, who was part of that Elite Eight team, a point guard out of Florida, or there's another one, and Stokes is his last name, that he was someone out of Virginia that was part of that squad as well, that there are three stars that aren't like big time heralded recruits that played a part in getting Kansas State to the Elite Eight. So,
right.
I think that's one way you can look at it. Yes, he does need to develop. Yes, this is a bet on Illinois' own evaluation versus some others, but they definitely like him, and they're excited about adding him today.
It makes you wonder, because we mentioned yesterday, and I had mentioned the fact that every time you watch March Madness and you see some of these teams that you don't see during the year or as much, you know, maybe you've seen them once or twice, but then you see them in the NCAA tournament, there's always that team that makes the round of 32 or the Sweet 16 that you sit there and think, man, these guys had to have been all underwhelming in terms of recruits. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that bad. I think anybody that's recruited for college is very, you know, kudos to you guys. I was never recruited to college for anything. So I say that with a little bit of, you know, an idea that you're still a good player. But I always think to myself, where did they find these guards? And that's kind of that was kind of my theme yesterday when talking about this. Would there be a possibility that Brad has looked at the NCAA tournament the last two or three years and said, all right, we need more of this kind of a player? Or is that really overstating it?
No, I don't think it is. I think even if you're looking at Illinois' team last year, mm-hmm. like the fact that they didn't have someone that could consistently get them into offense, that they felt like could set up a Terrence Shannon, set up a Matthew Meyer with his passing and the way he saw the floor. I mean, Jaden Epps could get to the basket off the dribble. Jaden can score. Yes, late in the year, he had some three-point issues in terms of his shooting and everything, and now he's gone. I personally, I think a lot of people out there would have liked to see Jaden Epps progress further
yes.
in an Illinois uniform and see what that would have looked like. I think Sky, when in his shortened time here with Illinois, struggled as someone that could get to the basket. It wasn't something that he could do. He couldn't get by people. Now, I think one thing with Jace that you got to see is how does he make up for some of maybe the athletic disadvantages he'll have going against some quicker guys. Can he get by people? But I think that we've seen some bigger body guards that just have the strength to be able to body people up. I think just the way he sets up his moves, and you can sometimes beat people with your mind sometimes, mm-hmm. just the way that you see the game and process things. So I think they really like the fact that he can be around a scorer like Dragibs Lawhorn, and if they get someone like, you know, Jeremiah Fears, yeah. if they go out and, you know, resupplement their wing position after, you know, after Terrence Shannon Jr., maybe go and get another wing after Marcus DeMass, just a piece that can set up other people, a guy that has size so he can defend different positions. I think they definitely like that. And on the note of kind of some unheralded recruits coming out of high school, and it pivots us back into another kind of a rehash of some of what we talked about yesterday, but I was going through, so the Almanac is partnered with, you know, Field of 68, where our buddy Trevor is now, Jeff Goodman, those guys, they put together
your buddy.
Yeah. My buddy, Trevor Valise. Right. They put together a, essentially like a preseason magazine.
Yeah.
You know, preseason All-Americans, preseason top 25, breakdown of each team. And I was looking through the All-American list, and there are a handful of guards on that list. You'd be interested to know what they were like coming out of high school.
I bet.
Tyler Kulik out of Marquette, first team preseason All-American.
He's a stud.
He's really good.
Really
good. You know what he was coming out of high school?
Probably like a three-star.
A zero-star recruit who went to George Mason.
Okay.
And then he transferred to Marquette. He was an all-Big East guy last year, and now he's a preseason first team All-American. Max Asemus. Was that Oral Roberts? Now he's at Texas. He's a preseason second team All-American, zero-star recruit out of high school.
Wow.
Tyson Walker, third team preseason All-American.
I like him.
Unranked three-star who went to Northeastern and then transferred to Michigan State.
Unbelievable.
Tyler Perry, now at Kansas State, unranked three-star who went to North Texas. Now, that does bring into the fold of like, okay.
Is he still at North Texas?
No, he transferred this offseason to Kansas State.
To Kansas State, okay.
So it brings into question, do you wait on a guy like Jace Butler? Mm-hmm. Do you wait for him to go spend those years at like a Northeastern, right. Oral Roberts, all the places I just mentioned? Maybe he goes to UC Santa Barbara, and then you try to pick him up after he has a couple years under his belt. He makes a couple all-conference teams. I think the counter to that is, well, yeah, but then UCLA is going to want him, and USC is going to want him. Teams that don't want him now, it's closer to home on the West Coast. Then you try to get him now, and then they make them pay for it later. Similar to when, you know, Wichita State said, yeah, we'll take Fred VanVleet. You think he's too small? We think he's pretty good. That's kind of where Illinois is at with him. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be an All-American. I'm not saying he's going to be an NBA type of player like a VanVleet, who's
right. You
know, obviously played a lot of years, Toronto, and now with Houston. But that's an interesting dynamic, is kind of like how you make some of these calls in the portal world, whether you take them now, whether you wait on them. But there have been, case in point, those guys and a number of others, players who weren't flashy on a recruiting ranking and turned out to be really good guards.
Well, and we understand that teams like Northeastern can get away with that, right? They have to. They essentially have to get away with this. And then you almost feel bad a little bit for them about this transfer portal. Now you're seeing some of these teams. You just ripped off four All-American, preseason All-American guards that were all at schools like Oral Roberts, Northeastern. Imagine what that coaching staff was thinking. Oh, my gosh, if we keep this kid 4 years. Imagine being a student at Northeastern or Oral Roberts and thinking, man, that kid just played for us, and now he's a preseason All-American, but he went off to bigger things. Well, a university like Illinois, a basketball program like Illinois, you can't take many chances like this.
Correct.
But I think you can take that now, and that was kind of my point yesterday, too, was the idea that, look, I mean, they probably see something in this kid that they think in 2 or 3 years, or in 2 years even, that they've got enough to where they can kind of shield him, and then he can emerge as this. So, I mean, you can't take many chances like that. Like, Illinois can't do an entire recruiting class of just guys that you're beating out UC Santa Barbara for a power forward, for a center, for a wing, and a point guard. I mean, I think at that point you'd be like, okay, hold on a second. What are the chances all four of these guys connect? But certainly, I think they see something in him that down the road they think can maybe he can play right away. I don't know. But like you said, I don't think he would. So, yeah, I see it. And it also, again, brings up that portal thing that I think you can do something like this with a kid that you think is going to end up being what you want and fit your style perfectly. And guess what, Derek? In 2 years, if he doesn't, then you just go to the portal and bring somebody else in. I mean, that's essentially how it is.
That's the world in college basketball. And I think the point guard position right now for Illinois is just super fluid. Like, yes. We have no idea what Ty Rogers being a full-time point guard is going to look like. Maybe it works out great. Maybe it's a disaster. And maybe they have to move him back to being a kind of a Swiss Army knife wing / forward. And we'll see how that plays out. We'll see if Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn can play on the ball and develop into a decision maker, not only just an athletic scorer. Nico Moretti, is he ready to play this year? Is he going to be a factor at point guard going forward? So Jace Butler being earmarked now to come in next year as a playmaker at 6'4", can he play some off the ball? Yeah, but I think that he's most natural or just they see the most value in him as being kind of a bigger point guard. Who knows? Maybe he is going to be a factor next year. I wouldn't entirely put it past him. I use this example when Jeremy Warner and I were talking on our podcast today. Braden Smith out of Indiana, who goes to Purdue, you know what he was coming out of high school? An unranked 3-star. And he started every game last year for Purdue and played pretty well. So there are those examples, even at a Big Ten school.
Yep.
But then again, I think there's just so many things that pop up in my head here, too, that I think that part of the evaluation process now for staffs, especially in the portal era, is like, what's the mentality of this guy when he shows up at my school? Him being someone that wasn't highly recruited, wasn't highly ranked, maybe he has more patience than what Sky Clark had. Maybe he has more patience than what Adam Miller had. Maybe he doesn't have in his mind, you know what, I'm ranked in the top 100. That means I'm going to the NBA after 1 year.
Yep.
So maybe he's willing to sit through or just develop a little bit more, be more willing to play a bench role, be more good for your chemistry, be better long term. You actually have him 3 years down the road versus someone that comes in and says, well, I was ranked in the top 100. I'm, you know, don't you know, Brandon Podziemski, you don't guarantee me a starting role by the time I'm a sophomore. See, I'm going to Santa Clara.
Yep.
Like maybe that factors into it too. I'm not saying that's why Illinois is making this move, but that can be something that comes from getting a guy that didn't have a whole lot of spotlight on him in high school so far.
It's such an inexact science. Isn't it? I mean, it's so difficult to determine who is going to be that good. And we've talked about it. Normally, the five stars are guys that hit. But obviously, like when you said Sky Clark's name, I was trying to think, what was his best game last year? He had 14 to choose from, I think. Is that right? Did he have a game, Kyle, where he went for like 12?
I know he had one game against a low major.
That he kind of went off.
I think he had 18 points. I'll pull up his game log.
I know Wade asked about new transfer portal rules, and I just...
They're shortening the window.
Yeah.
So the portal period goes way too long because you're having guys that, number one, they need to, and I got to look into the details of what exactly the window is.
I got it. 30-day window after the season, 15 days in the spring. So they've shortened it to 45 days.
Is it after the tournament?
The Monday after Selection Sunday is when it opens.
Okay.
Why do you know that?
I was reading on it earlier.
I mean, come on.
Someone's got to know.
I love having Kyle here.
Thank God Kyle's here to.
He makes me look even dumber than what I am when it comes to this stuff.
I'm supposed to be an expert on this stuff.
I was on the cutting edge here that I actually had an answer, and then Kyle goes right in for the kill on exactly what time it begins. Like 4:08 a.m. on Monday after selection.
I don't know that much, but.
So what do you think of that?
I still don't like that. I still think it should be later on in the process. Maybe you do it like right before the Final Four starts.
Okay.
But
you're putting
teams who are actually making the tournament at a disadvantage.
I agree.
Because they're focusing on playing their games while other staffs are then like going out and visiting these transfers. Or you got people who are on a NCAA tournament team who are already making their plans. Or maybe you make the tournament, they show you on Selection Sunday, Greg Gumbel says, and here's the Raiders from wherever the heck. And the guy in the corner is like, yeah, I'm going to the portal as soon as this show's over.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm not playing in the tournament. That would be gutsy.
But
that would be really – is this their way of bringing in a sort of a draft? Like, okay, so we're going to help the teams that didn't make the tournament by giving them a head start?
I don't know. I don't like that aspect of it. I do like shortening the window because there's too many circumstances. And the problem is the grad transfer still is kind of like the get out of jail free. Like you could be a grad transfer all the way up until the fall semester starts and say, hey, guess what?
I'm going
in the portal.
Yep.
And you'd still be immediately eligible. But you have guys like Mulcahy who go into the portal like late in May. And you're already as a staff trying to plan what your roster is going to be and say, okay, we got this guy back. We don't need this. We still need this. And then someone can just go into the portal that late. It puts the coaches in a really bad spot. So I think shortening the window is better.
It makes the jobs of a Tyler Underwood even more important, right? Because if Illinois is preparing for the NCAA tournament or a round of 32 game, then he has to be there sitting there saying, okay, Tyler, I appreciate your input into this game. We're about ready to play against whomever, but we need you to be focusing in on. I mean, it's just – I'm not crying for guys that are head coaches in Division I programs that make a lot of money. They also work a lot of hours, but I will say this. There's been a lot thrown on these coaches in the last couple of years. A
ton.
And now, like you said, and I'm with you 100%, why not make it until – like you said, Final Four weekend. Now, granted, does that still put the four final teams at a little bit of a disadvantage? They don't care at this point. They're in the Final
Four. They could at least tell the transfers, hey, you might catch it on TV. We're playing in the Final Four. Right. Let us talk to you after this weekend.
Yeah, just give us a chance to talk to you. Don't make any rash decisions until, you know, Monday morning. But I'm with you there in the sense that I don't want it. To be honest with you, I, as a fan, don't want to be seeing guys transferring and portal stuff happening while I'm trying to watch the NCAA tournament. Because it's just weird. Like, what a weird dynamic it would be. Like you said, your example, if, let's say, Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn next year, Illinois makes the NCAA tournament, They win. They're on their way to the Sweet 16, and that week in between, one of the days we have to spend an hour on Dre Gibbs Lawhorn entering the portal and possibly choosing a team before then. I would be like, I don't want to talk about this
It's so distraction.
I'm with you. And I know, I mean, maybe that sounds silly as a fan. You can easily just ignore that part and focus in on the other. But I'm with you 100% on that. I like shortening it, and it is down to 45. But why not just wait? Why not wait until, A, the tournament's over? It's not like every year the tournament is over at a different time. It's not like, well, it's a best of seven, and we don't know exactly when they're going to win. We know it ends on that Monday.
Yep.
So why not just make Tuesday morning? I don't know. I mean, I know that, listen, this is a flow. This is an ever-changing process for everybody involved. Coaches, players, NCAA, everything. This is all changing. But it just, to me, would make sense, like you said, to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. When the games end, then the portal opens for 30 days.
Yep.
That simple.
Yep.
I don't know. That's kind of silly. So the 30-day window after the season and then 15 days in the spring. What did it used to be in the spring?
So they're not consecutive? It's not just 45 straight days through?
No. According to this, now I'm sure Kyle will rebuff this. When he gets
think I have to.
Okay, gets his closing arguments here.
I'm reading, according to ESPN, it's just a 45-day window that opens that Monday and then closes 45 days later.
Okay. Google, you stink. That's what I say to that.
Does it say whether or not that will go through the NBA draft process? Because we've seen a number of guys declare for the draft, go through the process, say they're going back to school, and then they're like, oh, I'm hopping in the portal.
Yeah,
I wonder
exactly.
If that's now going to be still within the window. Like, does it say the close date?
It doesn't.
I guess we can do the math.
It does say grad students are still able to enter their name at any time.
Okay.
I still think it would allow them. That's kind of like late May. You're going to close mid to late May. You're closing it. No. Sorry. Mid to late April. Mm. My math is off there.
Yeah, this said a 45-day transfer window begins with a given sports championship selection, i.e. bowl game announcements or release of NCAA tournament brackets.
So maybe that would be before the combine. Maybe you'd have to be in the portal if you wanted to have the option to come back to school and then pursue another opportunity.
In 2024, it closes May 2nd.
I just want to know who the 12 guys are representing my team come the next year.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is why the NCAA said we're going to give you two more assistant coaches. And I mean, in basketball, at least, this is why they said, okay, we're going to let you basically have two more assistant coaches and pay them like they deserve to be able to deal with all this.
Yeah, it's beyond just on-court instruction, which has been a silly rule anyway. The guys are in the building. Yeah. Why can they not be on the practice court?
I want to see, you know, Netflix Full Swing. They did, by the way, they're doing some stuff on the Ryder Cup. I think that'll be cool on the next one. I want to see them just follow a program like Illinois and just follow to the point of they're in the building every day and they're following, you know, Hamer and Underwood around saying, okay, there's 15 new guys in the portal and here's what we've got on each one of them. And okay, this kid, we're loaded at, like, we've got Kofi next year. We don't need this kid. So automatically there's a big X on his face. Like, just that, or you throw a dart at it, right? You just make it horrible just for the, you know, cause it's a TV series. But then I would love to just see the inner workings of the portal. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it'd be really, really interesting.
It would be. Now, I don't know if a school would open that up, you know, but you could do that and then release it, you know, after the season starts or something. But there again,
you could disguise it well enough where you wouldn't have to say specific names
true.
To the cameras.
True.
Although, of course, it'd be more interesting if you did.
It would be. It would just open us up as fans to say, you know, that guy that just won the tournament for Carolina, hit the last second shot. Well, Illinois decided they didn't want him, you know, and then it would just totally open it up to where we would just shred our coaches again for something else.
Or then Brad's about to close his door. Like, hold on a minute. Hunter's calling me.
Episode 2.
Hunter Dickinson.
Do the Illini, are they the hunted? Or do they become the hunter? You'll find out Tuesday. I like that about
you. You could be a voiceover guy.
I could do that. I could do that. Yeah, I'll do that. That'd be cool. I feel like that's one thing that, like, I couldn't have been a play-by-play guy. I'm horrible at it. People have asked me that. I'm like, I'm terrible at play-by-play. I think where I missed my calling was the voiceover dude. Definitely. Mm. Definitely. For concerts and stuff. Except, like, Taylor Swift concerts. Like, I wouldn't fit that role. You know? Taylor Swift. So people would be like, thanks, Lon. We'll call you Monday. Feel the excitement and the power. There'll be blood on the stage when Taylor Swift hits it. You're like, what? All right, we'll call you Monday, Lon. I think you're doing more of a Slayer thing here.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
It's all right.
Why did I bring her up?
There's a what? Yeah.
It's just in your conscience now. It's just totally, she's in your conscience. Would I know more than 3 Taylor Swift songs?
Let's try.
Oh, let's do it. Is she the new, like, who was the lady that had the beautiful voice? That, from London or whatever, that came out of nowhere?
Adele. Yeah, Adele.
Is she the new Adele? I mean, she's bigger than Adele, right?
Yes.
Is Taylor Swift the biggest musical star
since,
ever?
Like, she bigger than, since like, Britney Elvis? Spears was?
Yeah? Oh, I think so.
Now, she Madonna?
Ooh, Madonna's a good call. Is she going to be in Playboy soon?
I don't know.
Madonna went that route. I don't see Taylor doing that route.
I doubt it. I don't know. Travis Kelce might mess her up. All right. We're really heavy on this segment.
If we just took out these goofy segments, we'd be fine.
No. I think people want these. Before we catch a break, can Lante name 3 Taylor Swift songs? The over-under is set at
0.
1.5.
Can't wait for that.
You ready?
Yep.
Go.
Are we doing it after the break?
Oh, no, I was going to say.
Oh, I don't know any.
We'll give you the break to think about.
Well, if you played a song, I would be like, oh, I've heard that one. I wouldn't know the titles.
Mm.
I bet I would know 5.
You know how we had when Harry Black did Hockey Town, Russian Name?
Russian Town or Hockey Name.
Did I mess that up again?
Yeah. Russian Town or Hockey Name.
I said Hockey you Town, said, Russian yeah, Name. Yeah, oh, hockey, my God. Yeah. I used to always mix that up.
I think I was 8 for 8 on that and then finally missed. Yeah, I was really good on that for some reason. But I don't.
You know your hockey.
Like, I've heard of guys.
Yeah.
Like, because he
I
would
should
come
play
up with
a song
funny.
And say Taylor Swift song or not Taylor Swift
or
song.
Adele.
Or Adele. Coming up next, Taylor Swift or Adele.
Or Bocelli.
217-359-2255. It is the drop.
Join Urbana Park District for Climate Action Week, October 1st through 8th. We all can help take care of the environment. Be sure to join us at Crystal Lake Park Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. for a celebration of the environment that will feature live music, guided hikes, and more in partnership with the Champaign County Climate Coalition. Call 217-384-4062 for more information or follow the Park District on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Justin Ike, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Fighting Illini football is back in Champaign as they take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Memorial Stadium Friday night, October 6th at 7 p.m. It's our Celebrate Food and Ag game. Bring the family for a special petting zoo area inside Grange Grove with animals to interact with Illini fans and kids. See you at Memorial Stadium for Fighting Illini football's Big Ten matchup against Nebraska. Friday night under the lights on October 6th. Get tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get five bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. It's $5 for Blue Moon drafts and Jack Daniels drinks. Murder your thirst with liquid death water and CBD products. Pia's is the place to party, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We have one vote for the under in this upcoming game of can Lante name three Taylor Swift songs. That's at the over-under at 1.5.
Rodney Harrison went to Western Illinois. He was from Marian Catholic in Chicago. And he's the guy that knocked out in a preseason game Trent Green. And the Rams' Dick Vermeil cried because he thought, he cried for Trent Green, who is Luke Goody's uncle?
Yes.
Or no, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So he,
you Vermeil, should know, part of the family.
Well, right, exactly. So that's Uncle Dick. So he's actually cousin Dick. He's a cousin to me now. But he cried because he felt bad for Trent, but also he thought we were going to have a really good team with Marshall Faulk and Bruce and Holt and Kurt Warner steps in. And then look at the career that happened after that. Is that amazing?
It is.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Very much so. 217 said, a 2014 movie, Kevin Costner, Draft Day. I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, it's super.
It's really good?
It's good.
It's similar to what other coaches or what our coaches go through with the portal, check it out.
Yeah. No, you have to. Pipes, what do you do?
I
give you credit. This is why you're thin and in shape. You're not sitting in front of a TV like I do.
No.
No, Draft Day is definitely worth watching.
I'm currently doing a lot of like dance sing along type stuff with my son playing blocks. Although he doesn't build, he only crashes my towers. And we got this little version of hockey going on right now.
Oh, sweet!
He's got this little plastic putter, and nice. I've got a little bat, and we kind of just
go around the house.
Yeah.
Does he come ripping? Is he still in the diaper stage? Right.
He is. Yeah.
So does he come ripping through into the living room with nothing on but a diaper? And it's like half hanging, and he just slams into your blocks, and he's like, "Yes!"
He doesn't have like maybe the bowling ball thing going on yet. He likes to just wind up and smack the heck out of him, and then run from me.
Well, what is he? 5'8"?
Just about. Yeah, he'll be 1.5 later this month. He's taller than most three, some even four-year-olds.
He's intimidating four-year-olds at parties.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, listen.
And he's kind of growing a mullet right now.
Is he really?
Man. You're going to see him on Friday.
Oh, good.
He's going to go to the Illinois-Nebraska
game. Does he
game.
Have, like, partial stash?
He's got some peach fuzz.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
gosh.
It's not, like, visible from far away. But what I'm setting up here is a great Larry Bird Halloween costume.
This, oh, yes.
I'm really going to do that.
Oh, my gosh. That would be perfect. That would be perfect. Has anybody contacted you yet?
No, they haven't seen him in person.
Of course, you were a quarterback.
Other than James Herring, our buddy at Radford.
Okay, so Herring's
in early.
As
soon as he was born, he texted me that he has an offer from Radford. So,
in my mind, you should consider Radford.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, although they'll get the first visit.
Yes, exactly. And Hawaii second.
And then Hawaii, okay, yeah, right. As we were talking about before the show.
And then move on from there.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yep, I agree. Cade man.
All right. Not to spend too much time on that, but let's get to the game because a lot of people want to know.
Here we go.
I've got a few songs
I'm gonna be honest,
queued up here.
If I know this song, I'm going to be honest and just tell you I know the song.
So there's...
I won't know the title, so it doesn't matter if you give me the title.
I will tell you there are some songs in here that are not Taylor Swift, so you're also going to have to understand.
Oh, this is tricky now.
If
okay.
this is a Taylor Swift song and if you know this song. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Okay. I'm nervous about this.
Don't look at the screen.
I'm not. Early thought is no.
We were both young when I first saw
I have heard this.
I close my eyes.
And I think it is Taylor Swift.
Starts, I'm standing there.
It is Taylor Swift.
Okay. Right.
Love Story.
Love Story.
Yeah.
I have
kind of
heard
an
that.
Older jam.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. I remember.
Next.
Okay. Kind of got the same, you know.
There's a fire
that is not Taylor Swift.
You sure?
I am positive on that one. I don't know who that is, though.
That is Adele.
Adele. Okay. Yeah. That,
Rolling
okay.
in the Deep.
Okay, right, I did know that song.
Let's try a different one.
Maybe I know more than I think. Maybe this
I guess
is.
I gotta hit stop.
Maybe we shouldn't have done this because now I'm going to think, wow, I know a lot more. I've heard this one for sure. Yeah, that's got to be Taylor Swift.
That is Blank Space.
She does have a pretty voice.
She does. I don't know who was calling the game. Was it Ian Eagle? When Kelce scored a touchdown against the Jaguars.
Oh, no.
He said
what'd he do?
He found the blank space in the end zone. Nice little pun.
That's good.
I always appreciate those Woody.
I actually don't mind that song right there. That's a pretty good song.
It's got a good beat to it. Yeah.
I gotta fit in with my 14-year-old fans out there.
Let's try this one.
Okay. Oh, that's Carly, isn't it, or whatever? Not Carly, but this is a great song. This is the daughter of
Billy Ray Cyrus. This is Miley Cyrus.
And this, didn't somebody in Major League Baseball have this as their walk-up song?
I think so, yeah.
Can you effort that one, Kyle?
Party in the USA, still a jam.
I would listen to this at any point. At any point, I would listen to
this. You're doing much
song.
Better than I would have hoped. All right, one more.
You're weaving here, and I'm weaving with you. Oh, I've heard this song. Got nothing in my brain. I don't think that's Taylor Swift. That's what people say. It seems like this song would have come out before Taylor really got famous. I go on too many dates. Oh, she giggled. Maybe that is Taylor.
It is Taylor Swift.
Okay, I'm going to go Taylor on the giggle.
Shake It Off.
Okay, that's a good song. You know what? I need to apologize to Taylor Swift. Like, I could... those five you just played, I can hang with that. I can... You know what? Write those five down. We're going to start the tailgate Friday with those five songs. Like, this is a cool song. Yeah. I get it, man. I totally get it now why Taylor Swift is all the rage. Totally get it. I think it would take the Adele song out of that. That'd be the only one I'd take out of that collection you just threw together. That's a good song by Miley Cyrus.
Party in the USA.
That's a really...
Yeah, no.
Did you find anything, Kyle? Like any Update on who used that as a walk-up.
Said the first person that pops up is Troy Tulowitzki.
Okay. I remember a guy at least using that. Whatever happened to him?
Too low.
Is he playing still or did he retire? Or?
Did he go to the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
I think they traded him to the Blue Jays and I think he battled injuries and just out of the league.
Because that was one the Cardinals kind of were interested in, right?
He was a really good player for a while.
Oh, my
Him,
goodness.
Carlos Gonzalez over there at the Rockies.
Ugh, cargo. Now, would Tulo still have been playing when we got Arenado, or would that have been Matt Holliday that we thought might bring over Tulo? Or in other words, we thought, well, we got the inside there. Okay.
Did you see the report on Twitter? Now, you can't always trust things to pop up on your Twitter, like when – someone posted, Caleb Williams has decided he's only going to play for five franchises.
Oh,
and I'm like,
I hate that.
That's not true. And you wasted my time having to search on Twitter whether anybody else has tweeted this, and I found out no.
Oh, so it was not true.
It wasn't true, but someone shared. I should probably fact check
this. There was a story going into the season with he and his dad saying they would not play for the Cardinals. And I'm like, what are you, John Elway? You know what I hate? There's a few things that I wish I could go back in time and change, and that would be Elway winning two Super Bowls. Mm. I've never respected that guy. And Eli Manning winning two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Because essentially both of them, well, at least Elway was one of the best quarterbacks ever, right? Not that Eli was horrible, but he's funny. He's not as funny as his brother. But it's just one of those where it's like, why do you have to play the role of we're going to strong arm this? And who else? Jim Kelly did that, right? Jim Kelly said that he would go to the USFL. He would, I think he played a year in the USFL and then ended up with the Bills or something. Like, I don't know what the team was that I was thinking it was the Bills that he spurned and then ended up with Buffalo because they drafted him anyway. Yeah, I don't like that. Don't be bigger than the game. Is that fair? And I understand your ideal situation is not to go to the Bears right now or the Cardinals right now or a team like this. Right, you're not going to win right away. It's going to be an uphill climb. And well, sure. I mean, if I were pretty good and I could pick any team, I'd probably go to the Niners or the Chiefs right now. Right, makes sense.
Yeah,
I want to
get
a ring
for sure.
But I just don't like those that are trying to be bigger than the game. But unfortunately, it worked for Manning and it worked for John Elway. Mm. So, no, I never.
That's a good point.
I never liked.
Okay, so this does seem to be confirmed out there by a legit account. Randy Carricker, 101 ESPN, did you see, said that the Cardinals missed out on Max Scherzer.
Yes, now you know that gets in my crawl.
I was going to quote tweet you last night on this thing.
So I was reading this at like 3:30 in the morning. This is what happens to old guys when we get up, we got to go to the bathroom. So then we get back in bed, I can't go to sleep. So I pull on Twitter, which is the worst thing to do. And because all I see on there are 50 fights. Like, why is that a big thing?
A bunch
of
fights get posted.
Why is this a thing?
Stadiums, I don't know.
Yeah, like stadiums or just guys walking up and punching women. Or I'm like, what is this? Can I get off this? But anyway, I was reading that, and I knew some of the guys that delivered posts underneath that were essentially saying, well, look, if you have to take it into context of what the Cardinals had on their pitching staff back then, and they did have a pretty good pitching staff. I mean, they had five. I mean, that was when, like, Waka and Martinez were coming up. They had, who was the guy? John Lackey. Mm. Who was the lefty that never really did much?
Jaime Garcia,
yeah. And then somebody else. But it was one of those where, well, there wasn't really room.
I'd get rid of any of those guys.
All
of them for Max Scherzer.
And they said, well, the Cardinals had bigger needs. And I don't doubt that. By the way, wearing a Diamondbacks shirt today.
Well, you know me. I've been
I like this.
I've been rocking with the snakes my entire life.
Are you bringing the shorts in tomorrow?
Diamondbacks
shorts?
No, this is all I got. Okay. I got the hat and the shirt.
You don't have the underoos?
I didn't pack for three games. So hopefully they finish it off in Milwaukee tonight.
217, Bad Bunny hosting SNL on 1021.
Yeah, our guy.
That is in the intro. But, yeah, no, I saw that, and I'm like, why? I mean, what is the one thing, if I told you in the last 7 or 8 years, what's one thing the Cardinals have not carried into a postseason?
An ace.
I mean, I know Waino had a couple of years, But essentially, after Karp retired and Waino got a little bit older, because he went through some down years there, as we know, you're telling me you wouldn't throw Max Scherzer? You wouldn't give him $210 million over 7 years?
I know.
He won two Cy Youngs and a World Series, by the way, in between that. Oh, man. That's just...
All right.
Bad bunny.
Got to catch a break. There was...